Again, good morning. Today we follow the order of service printed out in your bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning will be hymn number 3, Lord Jesus Christ, Be Present Now.
Thank you.
begin this morning by reading in unison Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. We pray. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 34 that the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Let us then confess our sins unto the Lord and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, I proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our gospel lesson, our scripture lesson today, is recorded in St. Mark's Gospel in chapter 16, beginning at verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 198. He's risen, he's risen. Christ Jesus, the Lord.
Thank you.
ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon both the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might take comfort in the salvation he has provided for us, and that we might continue in the true faith unto life everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God which we consider today is recorded in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, and we continue from where we left off about 2 weeks ago. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As we read this, it seems a bit wordy, a little bit hard for us to grasp and to understand. But what St. Paul here is doing is comparing Jesus Christ to Adam. The effects of Adam's sin upon all mankind, as well as the effects of Christ's sufferings and death as atoning sacrifice on the cross for all of mankind. St. Paul takes us back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they had one command, not to eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. They had perfect fellowship with God. They walked with God each and every day in the garden. But when they broke that one command, when they doubted God's word to them and they disobeyed, then they were afraid of God. That fellowship was broken. And as a result of Adam's sin, death passed upon all the children or descendants of Adam. So that you and I are born into this world, not alive and in fellowship with God the Father, but spiritually dead and out of fellowship with God the Father. It is only when we are reborn again of water and the Spirit, when we are brought to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are restored to that fellowship. And so St. Paul begins, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so through Adam's sin, you and I were born sinners. And because we were sinners, we also committed acts of sin. In theology, we sometimes speak of this as original sin and actual sin. We are born into this world with original sin, which is the condition of our heart. Instead of loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, instead of trusting Him, instead of seeking to honor and glorify Him in all things, we are born into this world turned in upon ourselves. We don't love God or trust in God or seek to honor and glorify God, but rather we seek our own honor and glory. We love ourselves. We don't trust in anyone else but maybe ourselves. And we seek to use others for our own benefit rather than for the good and welfare of others. And so, because Adam sinned, we all came into this world with a sinful heart. And because we have a sinful heart, we commit all sorts of acts of sin. We break God's commandments in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. Paul includes kind of a sub-thought here, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, in order for somebody to be held accountable, they have to break an actual law. It's something that I learned when I was in law enforcement. There were a lot of things that people did that were morally wrong, but because there was no state statute in Kansas against that particular act, you know, I couldn't say, well, you're wrong and take them to jail because there's nothing to charge them with. Well, before God codified the law, so to speak, on Mount Sinai, sin was passed down to us. We were out of fellowship with God. We were in rebellion against Him. But our guilt was really the guilt of Adam, which is passed down to us. We're born in this sinful condition. But we all committed acts of sin. We broke God's moral law, which was written on our hearts. But as it says, sin is not imputed when there is no law. And yet it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so even though there was no written code of law, yet they all still suffered death because they were all sinners and all guilty before God. And it says that Adam is a figure of him that was to come. And then Paul begins to make this comparison. He says, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And so though they have one thing alike in that death was brought to all men and the free gift is provided for all men, there are differences, big differences. For if through the offense of one many be dead, and all of us are born into this world dead in our trespasses and sins because of the offense of Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And so Jesus' sufferings and death on the cross, His propitiating or atoning sacrifice, has procured an atonement for all mankind. So that God now reaches out to us with grace and mercy, seeking to bring us back into fellowship with Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the gift of grace, the grace of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, extends to many. In verse 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And so through Adam's one sin, all the world became guilty before God. Through Jesus, one act of righteousness, the sins of the whole world were paid for. Atonement was made for the sins of all mankind, leading to justification for all those who trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. verse 17, which I think is perhaps one of the key passages in this section. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, many like to use this section of Scripture to teach an objective justification, that God has already declared everyone forgiven, everyone righteous, everyone just. But what it really teaches is that atonement has been made for all, and as it says here, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, well, how do we receive it? It is through faith in Jesus Christ, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so what it really teaches is that those who believe receive the benefits that Christ won for all. And they are just and righteous in Christ, and they will reign with Christ in his everlasting kingdom. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so that by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so by the offense of one, and here if your Bible has italics, it tells you which words are supplied in English to make sense of the Greek. Literally, it is, therefore, as by the offense of one upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one upon all men unto justification of life. The point being that God's judgment, his condemnation, came upon all mankind through Adam's sin. So that before we actually even committed acts of sin, we were already out of fellowship with God. We were already under his wrath and judgment as sinners. But it says, even so by the righteousness of one who is Jesus Christ, who by his act of obedience kept all of God's commandments perfectly in thoughts, desires, words, and actions for us, by his passive obedience, by willingly bearing our sins upon the cross and suffering our punishment and making atonement for our sins, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In other words, Jesus won forgiveness and justification and life for all. Does not say that all have received it or that all are declared forgiven and righteous, because that is through faith in Jesus Christ, as we see in the next verses. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In other words, being made righteous is something that is happening also in the future, because the future is used here. So what it means is, you know, Adam's sin resulted in everybody being born into this world, being dead in sin. Jesus Christ, righteousness, his obedience, becomes ours when we have faith in Christ. And it is still becoming the gift of God to those who come to faith in Jesus Christ today. So by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And what St. Paul is simply explaining here, that if Adam's sin could bring death to us all, Jesus' holy life and his innocent sufferings and death on the cross can give life to us all. Because God imputed Adam's sin and guilt to all mankind, he certainly can impute to us, credit us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we flee to him for mercy and look to him for forgiveness and life. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And of course, through the law, as we study the law, we see how sinful we are. And the older I get, the more sinful I am, because the more I learn from the Bible, the more I see how what I thought was okay before might not be okay. I see my sinfulness, my failures to live according to God's word. And so by the giving of the law, the offense abounded. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I think of the passage in Psalm 130 where it promises that God would redeem Israel from all his iniquities. It speaks of him sending plenteous redemption. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid not just for my sins, it paid for your sins, and it paid for the sins of the entire world. No matter how great they are, no matter how many they are, Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient. It's more than enough to pay the price for the sins of all mankind. And when we continue next week in Romans chapter 6, you know, Paul asks the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if there's so much grace, well, why don't we just go on sinning? And his attitude is, you know, may it never be. God forbid that we think that way. We don't want to sin against our God when we trust in Christ. So when the law entered, that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he explains that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And what this last verse really teaches us is that as we see our sinfulness, as we examine ourselves with God's word, we realize that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we see the grace of God in Jesus Christ, which much more abounds, that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we see our sins and we acknowledge and confess our sins unto the Lord and we look to Jesus and his cross for mercy, God's abounding grace wipes away all our sins, so that where death reigned, where we stood condemned by God's law for our sins, now, as it says here, grace reigns through righteousness. And so I can say of myself that I am a guilty sinner. I deserve death and eternal damnation. I was born a sinner and I have sinned in my thoughts, desires, words, and actions. But Christ paid for those sins when he suffered and died on the cross. He fulfilled the righteous demands of God's law for me. So when I look to Jesus and his cross, no matter how great my sins, grace abounds. And through faith in Jesus Christ, death does not reign in me, but life, God's grace. In his mercy, I am forgiven. In his mercy, I have the promise of everlasting life. And of course, that applies to each and every one of us. Death reigns through the law. The law condemns us. But God's grace and mercy is greater, because Jesus made atonement for our sins. And so grace reigns. You live by grace, by God's undeserved love for Christ's sake. You live because Jesus paid the price for your sins. Jesus won for you forgiveness and life. God graciously brought you to faith in Jesus, and God counts you righteous and holy because of Jesus. And so as it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you notice, it says, so might. Not using might as, you know, well, it you know, maybe possibly could happen, but probably not. But it's using it in the sense of the goal. That as the law condemns us, that God's grace might reign in our lives, that we might flee from the wrath of God to the cross of Jesus, that we might receive forgiveness and everlasting life, and that we live our lives with faith in that grace of God. You know, we saw this right at the beginning of the chapter where it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so by faith, we stand in grace, knowing that all our sins are forgiven because Jesus paid the price, that when we die, our souls will go to heaven because Jesus paid the price. On the last day, we'll be raised up and spend eternity with the Lord because Jesus paid the price. God grant that you have faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, that you stand in his grace and mercy. Amen. I ask you to please stand, and if you would turn to page 22 in front of your hymnal, we sing the offertory. Seated, we continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. I ask you to please stand and join in the prayers of the church. O gracious Father in heaven, we are unworthy sinners and undeserving of your love and mercy. We have sinned against your commandments and failed to seek you with all our hearts and souls. Draw us deeper into your life-giving word. Move us to read and study our Bibles daily and to come before you with our petitions and praises. By your Holy Spirit's gracious working through your word, move us to repent of our sins and look to the shed blood of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of all our sins and for the strength to live our lives to your glory. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our only Savior, you came into this world and shed your holy and precious blood on the cross for
for the sins of all mankind. And you have commanded us to go into all the world and preach your saving gospel to every creature. Give us boldness to speak of you to our friends and neighbors. Raise up men to preach and teach your word faithfully, and to go into all the world with the message of forgiveness and life through faith in your name. Bless the work of our pastor and the work of faithful pastors and missionaries everywhere, so that those living in darkness might see the light, repent of their sins, and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, through the preaching of your word and through the administration of your sacraments, you have raised us up from spiritual darkness and death and given us faith and life in the redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus, our Savior. Do not forsake us because of our failures to follow you and listen to the teaching of your word. Be patient with us and graciously move us to repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. A great many of our rulers speak against the truth and exalt sin and rebellion against you. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seek to walk in your ways that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O source of all strength and power, our congregation is small and weak. We are powerless in our efforts to reach the lost, to strengthen the weak in faith, and to carry out the work you have called us to do in this world. Give us the strength to put on the armor of God and to arm ourselves with the sword of the Spirit and bear witness to Christ in this dark and dying world. Keep us from shrinking back and move us to boldly confess your name that others too might hear your word and believe. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, we ask you to provide for all our needs of body and soul and to preserve us from all harm and evil. In addition, we lift up to you those among us who are afflicted in body or soul. We remember today, especially Anya, James, Linda, Joyce, Matthew, Carl, Harley, Donna, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us. Grant healing to the sick, comfort to those oppressed, and strength to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. We join in the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You all to come forward. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. I ask you to please stand. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Thank you. Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true faith and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 309. O Jesus, blessed Lord, to thee. Again, and welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God's richest blessings to you. As far as announcements, I have them in the bulletin. We again have Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We do this online only through Jitsi Meet. We started Amos, we finished Joel, started Amos, and we're in Chapter 2 this week, and I'll send out the link information on Wednesday. We have a congregational meeting today at 11:30, so hopefully you can all stay for that. Since I feel so short-winded today that maybe I need to preach another sermon or something, you know, because it's before 11 o'clock, and that just doesn't happen, but I know I kind of shorten the service because we're so few, it's hard to sing, you know, 6-8 verses of some of those hymns and things, but we can talk about that. So we'll be meeting at 11:30, but we may, in a few minutes, sit down and talk about some of the other things that we can talk about now before Marty and the Cortises come to handle the rest. So, again, God's richest blessings to you and your Savior. Thank you. Thank you.